This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Mississippi Edition is your source to stay up to date on what's happening across the state. I'm Desiree Frazier. Tune in weekday mornings at 8:30 as we bring you in-depth interviews on some of the state's most pressing issues. From the Mississippi State Capitol to communities across the state, we keep you informed. Healthcare, education, and economic development are just some of the issues we tackle. Listen to Mississippi Edition, Monday through Friday at 8:30 only on MPB Think Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Everyday Tech. This is Abram Nanny with Sabir Abdul-Haq, an IT expert. A year ago last week, Mississippi experienced a horrible disaster. An EF4 tornado swept through the state and devastated many areas from the towns of Amory to Rolling Fork. We want to take this hour to talk about how communities and technologies have developed to learn about these storms and give a platform to those of you affected by them. To help us with that, we have Deborah Williams from the Legacy Village joining us for the show. Email everydaytech@mpbonline.org if you have any questions or comments. And of course, don't forget about the Talk to Us feature on the MPB Public Media app, where you can record a voice or video message and send it straight to us at Everyday Tech. Now, Sabir, how's it going, man? As always, I know it's a productive day for you.
Oh, it's been a productive day. I've been answering a few calls, and I was closer to home to be able to jump on a computer, but I'm going to go ahead and try to get a few things taken care of today. But it's definitely it's been a very productive day in IT today. Yeah, definitely. We just always want to remind folks, be careful when you get, you know, we always start off the show talking about things to, you know, review what we've talked in past shows. Y'all be careful before you click on any email. You be careful before you click on something, even if it came from a friend of yours, a friend or a family member saying, hey, did you, I had, unfortunately, someone who had passed away. Someone had got access to their email and sent an email to a colleague of mine saying, hey, was this you on the internet? And so they almost clicked the link, and they would have been hacked. So, you know, just remind people, if something seems weird, if you're not expecting that link from a friend, if you're not expecting some information or whatnot, if you're not expecting something, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't jump on it. None of those things. Just be real careful and be real security cautious, because these folks don't care. They will come and get your stuff. Yeah. They don't care. But I'm definitely looking forward to today's discussion with Ms. Deborah, and hopefully we can engage our listeners and let people know what we got to talk about in terms of tech, in terms of what we got going on. What do you think about today's show? What are you thinking? What's your thoughts?
You know, man, like it's I was one of those things that, like, I was wondering how we're going to view this and like what way you're going to put this together. Cause to pull the curtain back a little bit, this was your idea to do this show.
Right.
I'm a little curious as to how, you're going to pull this all together.
So, right. Well, I mean, one thing, so of course I've told the listening audience and people that also know me, I know I wear a lot of hats. I also work with a community organization where we do a lot of different things. We work on particularly like certain civic rights, and some of the things I know Ms. Deborah and I have talked about as we talk about the show, we may have like different community aspects on some of the things that we do with community engagement, but we can't really deal about community engagement. We can't really deal with some of our bread and butter issues that we deal with if people are suffering, if there's climate issues that we're dealing with, if we've got a tornado that's landed in our town or in Katrina. People weren't there after Katrina, for example. I'm from South Mississippi, and there were parts like when you go on Highway 49 going south of McGee, anywhere south of that last gas station just south of McGee was pitch black. There was no gas, there was no water anywhere, just about, for there was no lights anywhere south. It was just a zone. You would think you were going into some dungeon or something. You were driving into a dungeon of some sort. But it was it's truly scary, and it's great to see that communities have learned a lot Ms. Deborah is going to share some things with us, of course, when we get her on. Ms. Deborah is going to share some things. And I'm sure some of our listening audience have come, had some close calls, may have had some unfortunate news or some unfortunate impacts from things that are happening. But definitely, as we were talking about this, we looked at the calendar. We were like, yo, that would be a great topic to discuss, to discuss the fact of how technology impacts in terms of logistics, in terms of response, in terms of all these different things, some of the goals and challenges people have felt have had in terms of this. We weren't able to get to, we wanted to get some more, some actual other folks to be able to jump on board and to get on with us, but we're definitely getting the community aspect from Ms. Deborah, and she's got some she's got some exciting news about that her organization will be sharing with us later on. So really looking forward to the conversation. Hopefully it could be really a cumulative discussion as we go ahead and press and some of the research and everything you and I have done for it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's always beneficial to bring these things to light and to give a platform to those people that have been experiencing that. Cause I know for me, like for a long time, I grew up right outside of the Tupelo area, and for a long time, like growing up, I had, you know, when tornadoes and storms happen, like it was one of those things that like, it's not going to happen to us. Like I always viewed it as like, you know, I'm still invincible. Nothing's going to hurt me or anything. And then I want to say 2015, 2014 or so, a tornado came through Tupelo and actually tore down some of the, you know, some of the stuff that I would drive past, and I'm like, oh, this is a real thing that people are dealing with right now. And it finally struck me when I was, you know, I think I was probably, you know, 16 or so at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's definitely, I was, in South Mississippi where I'm from, Carson, Mississippi, just outside of Prentice and Bassfield, they get hit with tornadoes. We get hit with tornadoes in that area regularly. And in Southern Miss, where I went to school, USM, we went and some of our iconic buildings around the place got really, you know, tore up and damaged and destroyed by tornadoes back in, I think that was 2013, I think it was, when that tornado came through. But the resilience of community, the heart of community, the heart and the hard work of first responders and government agencies to do the type of work that they do and to try to keep us going and keep us alert, keep us all safe is greatly, greatly appreciated. And I think it's going to be a big part of our conversation today, like how technology does that, not just in terms of what, you know, of course, the emotional impact, but what is the technology's response to it insofar as we can.
Right. And I mean, it also applies to like the recovery effort as well. Yes, that's something that we'll talk about is, you know, the getting back to normal after these storms and this disaster often includes, you know, updating your laptop, you know, getting a new TV and stuff, everything that's that we lost, you know, you try to get back to it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And also what some folks are also doing locally, and I say locally from a statewide perspective, to be able to help make those recovery and also the logistics, disaster recovery logistics, make that happen. I'm not talking about government level. I'm talking about like industry level, what people are doing to be able to assist civilians, to assist people that are impacted, to be able to get back on with their lives and also to be able to make themselves whole. And I know that's something definitely we'll be discussing shortly. Yep.
Yeah. Well, in a second, we're going to go to a break. But before we do that, we do have Deborah on the line. Thank you so much for joining us, Deborah. Deborah Williams, that's correct?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Could you just introduce yourself, please, to our listeners and give a little rundown of what you do with the Legacy Village?
Good morning. My name is Deborah Williams, and I'm the director of Legacy Village here in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, of course. And at Legacy Village, our mission, we focus on non-traditional education, community education, and to make a community whole. That's basically it in a nutshell. We focus on academic success, personal and professional development, and health and wellness. And in that health and wellness, we do the holistic approach in order to make that happen. So that's where the community education comes in that area as well.
Yeah. Just hearing from your kind of introduction to that, I think your mission kind of aligns with what we do at NPB here as well, as far as education and health and wellness and stuff. So we appreciate that big time, Ms. Deborah.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll get real in depth with Ms. Deborah about Legacy Village. So if you have a question, we still have a lot of show left. So stay tuned and email us at everydaytech@mpbonline.org. Thanks for listening to MPB Think Radio and tuning into Everyday Tech this morning. My name is Abram Naney. I've got Sabir Abdul-Haq here with me. Email your questions or comments to everydaytech@mpbonline.org. Now, we've got Ms. Deborah Williams here with us from the Legacy Village also. And to be fully transparent, it was a bit of a scramble. You know, we tried to do the show last week, and it was a bit of a scramble trying to get everyone on. And we had a storm that Monday night. And It was real stressful for everyone. So almost a year to the day of the Rolling Fork storm. So this hour is going to be a bit different from what we typically do for Everyday Tech. Now, Ms. Deborah, the Legacy Village website opens with a sort of mission statement. Legacy Village Enrichment Center is committed to providing education and resources to disadvantaged communities of youth, young adults, and families, regardless of race, creed, color, sex, or religious preference. Can you speak to that a little bit, please?
Well, yes. Basically, that's what we do. We really, in a small community, one of the things is that we want to be very transparent and providing our services to any and everyone in reference to helping them be productive citizens. And that's everyone. We're not limited to a certain group of people, certain area of people. And to educate the outside world that we have just a mega of intelligent people, hardworking people, people that are resilient, people that love one another. And that's what we are, and that's what we do. We do frontline work. We don't just sit at the desk and do outreach. We actually are in the community and volunteering in the community and making sure that our community know what's going on as much as possible as we can do that, and getting people on board with that. So it's been a really success for us, and we've been doing this for the last 20 years, but here in Mississippi, we've been back for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Abram, like, so my good friend and my organization's executive director, he actually introduced me to Ms. Deborah. I did not make it to Rolling Fork, but I was helping coordinate logistics and everything else. And we're also a part of a bigger collaborative of organizations that do different things. Everything, like as Ms. Deborah said, everything from, you know, community education. My organization does more civic engagement and everything else like that. So it was really refreshing when we were trying to get impacted with the work that was happening. It was great to be able to meet Ms. Deborah, and it was also a handful of other organizations that were also in the area. It was great to be able to go in and network with folks. So it's always good to broaden that base of support. So we salute your efforts, Ms. Deborah. Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed.
And it's really cool to say, like, regardless of, you know, all these distinctions that make people, you know, unique, and regardless of all that, you know, the storm did not discriminate, so recovery has to also be a lot, you know, you've got to put the effort into everyone.
Right.
Something else that the website says that I really like, you know, it's called Legacy Village that you work with, and the website says it does take a village to raise a child.
Yes indeed. One of the things is we really get into the conversation, Ms. Deborah. So we've got your focuses, our listening audience has got your focuses. What in terms of what Legacy Village does, how on the day of when the tornado touched down, of course, you know, we could be able to can guess, but how was your regular program of work? How was everything impacted for y'all the day of the tornado when it touched down?
Well, I can tell you this, because I was not present. I was not in Rolling Fork at the time. I was at a conference. That's number one.
Okay.
So I myself found out about everything because my phone was blowing up. I had 135 calls in one night. It just put me in a state of unbelief to the point that I was just working on emotions, and that's it. So that's what happened in our community, my organization. I left Jackson at 6 o'clock in the morning, and all I could see was feeding people, getting people what they needed. So I came in with food, and my building was it was attacked. That's how I call it.
Right.
I walked in, and everything was just blown away in a sense. But in all of that, all I could do was call volunteers, call my friends and say, come help me get this food together for people. And that's what we did. We put out 100 plates that day. On Saturday morning when I got here, we fed 100 people. And it going so seeing people crying, seeing people pulling from the rubble, trying to answer questions, trying to connect people to other people when their phones wasn't working. So those type of things, and I'm saying it in such a way that I'm feeling this as I talk about it. And I just want to say right now, I just had a visit. I have a visitor here that her daughter was one of the people that lost her life in this storm. And she just so happened to come by to visit me. That is devastating. We have been connected to her from maybe a week after that. We've been connected to her and her family. So that's how that is. She's the mother, as I said. So I just let you guys ask me questions, because when I get deep into that, I get really emotional.
I definitely understood, and definitely we can definitely be able to see what we can be able to do to add the young lady who, and again, heart goes out to her, cool eyes and cool hearts to, you know, to those departed. We definitely want to say, you said you came in town directly like after the event. What were some of the ways, and you said, like, so, you know, we want to be able to have this whole conversation around response and recovery efforts. So, of course, the first thing is, when we talk about technology, is phone. What were some of the other ways that you feel that maybe you might have, without phone, even though you don't have phone service, what are some emergency steps that after, like, as we're looking back at, and we're gleaning information, we're gleaning wisdom from what happened and how things could have been done differently. What are some things that you think would have helped your response and recovery efforts in so far as technology? And I say, for example, I know one of the first things that I can't remember if we were able to go ahead and provide those to your area or not, but one of the first things we did was get hotspots. So, because even though people may not have access to the internet, phone lines are down, you know, mobile, you know, cell towers are down, all these different things. What are some ways that you think that technology might have been able to help better assist you with recovery efforts? That's insofar that you know of. Like, what are some things that you think that ideally, let's say if it was a magic wand, what are some things that you think that if we could have done, because this is a whole conversation. There are people listening in who may have been in the impact zone, like the sister that's there with you. There may be other folks, other community organizations that are in disaster hot zones as well. What are some things that if you could have waved a magic wand that would have made recovery efforts better for you or for you and your organization?
I think we need to step back to say what would have been in place the day after. So that's where I see one of the main things that I saw, that just me, is that has a chain of services that was put in place just for disasters. And we're going to use as a ground zero. That's what we're going to be used as, because the lessons learned from rolling for is going to save a lot of lives in the future.
Right.
And I know that, including us, of course. But I think that if there was a committee of telephone tree, in a sense, or how we could get information out where people could get to us, something that on that scale, and that day especially, and the days after, having a bank, like a phone bank or some, and in that generated, operated bank, so that people can get to us in one place. And then we would disseminate all of the needs out there. Things like that, I think, would have been great. And then I was told that by the time the night of, by the time people got the alert, we were hit.
Right.
And when they got the alert, we were hit.
It was already on top of you at that point. I got you.
And then educating businesses and community that when these alerts happen, that you act now. You don't tell someone you can't go home now.
Right. Right.
You can't leave your job now. You know, that was, people was uneducated.
And that's, go ahead. Why didn't mean to interrupt you? Continue what you're saying, sister.
I'm sorry.
I was saying, continue what you're saying. I didn't mean to interrupt. You said people were uneducated in terms of the alerts. Like, they figured that, oh, they'll be fine, and they stayed put, or they weren't even really worried about it, maybe sometimes. And we heard that in stories after Katrina. When Katrina came through, some people thought it was not going to be that bad. They'd ride it out. It's not their first hurricane. They weren't really concerned about it. But that's also what made the devastation so terrible. That's what made, unfortunately, the casualties be what they were. That's what made everything so, you know, kind of rough to deal with. And so I think what you're saying, especially things like educating businesses, and if an alert comes home, guess what? We're shutting down right now. You know, take these things seriously. Trust the agencies and the weather experts that are telling us what's happening. You said generators. Can you share with us, like, maybe what some of the town efforts were? Like, were there solar power? Was there solar power around for solar power generators? Was that available? Was that around for different things? Was that around?
With the information I got, it wasn't. And the rod for the congressman and his connections and office and FEMA, you know, coming in, especially congressmen, and bringing things like that for the city to get them where they needed to be so they could communicate. That's what I was told. And so, no, we didn't have that luxury at that time. And it was a surprise to everyone. It was just like Katrina. It was such a shock to everyone. And Katrina being in New Orleans, you would think they would be more prepared. But it is, it happens on a larger scale as well as this little rural scale, that we just got to do better. We must do better.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of this storm damage could be, you know, better prepared for sure.
Right. Gotcha.
All right. Well, go ahead.
I think for me, and I'll be quiet after this, we really need to use, like I say, lessons learned, and don't get so complacent, because, you know, when things settle down, everybody start doing the same thing again, and there's no accountability piece to it saying you must do these things every month.
Right.
You must do, and by law, it should be there. You know, you must, and if you don't, these are the consequences.
Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We are glad you found our show, Everyday Tech, on MPB Think Radio. This is Abram Nanny, still here with Sabir Abdul-Haq, who's ready to answer your questions. Email us at everydaytech@mpbonline.org. Today, our topic is the recovery effort in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, and how many people are helping and donating and what they can to help the town get as close as they can back to normal. Now, right. A part of those donations, you know, we talk all the time about what to do with old tech. You know, part of those donations can range from anything monetary or labor to TVs and computers. Right. And, you know, we've talked about how Legacy Village is helping with the education and, you know, professional development of these, of the community. Ms. Deborah, can you speak to how the education has, you know, faltered in Rolling Fork because of the damage due to schools and stuff, and like how these kids had to be out of school and whatnot?
Okay, repeat that again.
Yeah, so we talk all the time about how you know, old tech can help people, and we've mentioned how the Legacy Village, their mission is to educate and help with the professional development of kids and the community in general. So how has education, you know, how has the education been affected in Rolling Fork due to the damage to the schools in the area?
It has truly been affected because all the schools was hit by the tornado, if not by the tornado from March 24th, but we had a serious tornado Christmas Eve in 2022, and it damaged our middle school. But now we have had to combine schools, and it has really affected it because the mental piece of it, people still have not really gotten back to where they were when it comes trying to navigate everything in all of this rubble, because we still got rubble. We still got schools. The school itself is not where it should be. It's definitely not. We got rules that, you know, is not being used because you can't use them. Those type of things.
That's what's happened. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Mr. Bohr. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. And then, you know, trying to do technology, they don't have the latest technology. So that's not good. So it's a lot going on in that area.
Right.
Yeah, we've mentioned several times how education has moved into, you know, all the technological advancements have helped improve education and the educational standards. So with, as far as old tech goes, you know, donations and stuff, you guys are always willing for donations to the, to that cause.
Yes, we are. But the thing of it is what I see is that being in this rural area, we were already behind for everything. And education was one of the areas that we were so behind. And because of this storm, it put us even further behind. And that's what's sad about it. And then COVID, you know, also contributed to where we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel so bad for those kids that their education was already, you know, impacted by COVID and the pandemic. And then they also got hit by the tornado.
Right. And one thing that, I mean, I've also learned, like, in terms of, again, I didn't make it to Rolling Fork during the time of the disaster last year, but we had to also understand the dynamic, Abram, in terms of the way how things there. And please, you know, chip in. One of the things, of course, Sharkin, Issaquena County, that's Rolling Fork and, you know, the Anguilla area. Y'all, basically, the area only has like one grocery store, which, you know, last year it had finally got power back. There's two dollar stores. One was completely destroyed, if I'm not mistaken, and there were three or four gas stations. One were destroyed. When Rolling Fork was hit, the entire county was crippled. because both Sharkey and Issaquena County basically share resources. They're in the middle of what we would call in the sociographical field, like what they call a food desert, basically. Everything else, if you're trying to get anything else, I'm talking about the library system, the public and private schools, the condemned hospital, the health department, that was all shared between the two counties. And so everything else comes about 45 miles away, 45 or more miles away in Greenville, Yazoo City, and Vicksburg. So you're in kind of a tough spot, like Ms. DeBoro was saying. You're in a tough spot, and you're wanting to be able to do something to be able to, you know, thank goodness there are organizations like Legacy Village that are able to be able to say, look, we're going to go ahead and make these things happen for our community. We're going to make our community thrive in as best as possible. We're going to cultivate our relationships, and we're going to broaden this base of support. What are some things, do you think I may have missed anything, Ms. DeBora? Because when we start talking about technology and everything, when you don't have the basic things, we can't really get into technology until we start thinking about equity. What are your thoughts on that, Ms. DeBora?
I agree with you 100%. Yes, ma'am. I agree with everything that you've said. And then we were also the center for, our location for like Louise over in Humphreys County.
Right.
They travel over here, you know.
Right.
So we were definitely vulnerable in so many areas and still is in a sense in so many areas because we just working on just the minimal of everything.
Right.
People are building.
Right. And what are some things, and I know you also know we're looking at the last half of the show. We want to be able to give you a platform to discuss some of the things that your organization was doing with the program you were telling me about. But a year after, what are some ways technology has grown to be able to, or what processes have come in place that you've seen, that you've witnessed, that you've experienced, that may have changed things to, you know, better prepare folks, if any? What are some things that may better prepare folks in the event something like this happens again? Because again, you said that again, we had the 2022 tornado, we had this one in 2023. It's safe to say there, you know, it's safe to say that we want to be prepared for any future things. What are some things that are in place that you've seen in terms of how technology will better prepare your neighbors, your friends, your family? What are some things that you've seen?
Well, one of the things is that the city, kudos to them because they have put technology in place to alert the community by texting and cell phone calls and letting you know when there is a expected storm or disaster that's coming, some kind of disaster, and also to warn people of any closures and anything that has to do with affecting their mobility, in a sense. So that's a good thing. And, I mean, that alert comes automatically all the time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we got one just last week in the Jackson area. The National Weather Service alerts that just pop up on your phone. Last week on Relatively Speaking, Tuesdays at 11, Dr. Buttress spoke on the topic of I'm still here, don't forget about me. And I feel like that's what Rolling Fork and, you know, the other communities are trying to scream to the rest of Mississippi. You know, we're still here, you know, just because it happened a year ago doesn't mean everything's better now.
Exactly. I say and scream it loud, everyone that has a platform that's able to sell, to get that message out there, if it's nothing but in a conference and conversation, because what I'm seeing, because we are on the front line, we see a lot of mental health issues. We see a lot of needs that people overlook every day. And in our rural areas, people really don't think of us as being to the point of that need. in being able to, and technology definitely will play a part because a counselor can intervene, you know, virtually and be able to touch people to get them whole again. It's so needed. And the children in our schools, they're going through a lot of changes. You got children that lost their parents, that lost loved ones, that was in the storm that night, and every time there's rain, they start, you know, they start running. They're so afraid.
Right.
They start, you know, going through changes. So those type of things needs to be put in place by an organization, emergency man. I don't know, Mississippi Health Department, that needs to be a connection there. They're using the social media platform to get information out. But what I see in that, everybody don't have their phone every day and look at Facebook. We just don't.
You know,
so it needs to be something that goes beyond that. So I really think we're screaming loud, and rural America has been always put on the back burner. And so we always have. And if it wasn't people like Legacy Village, and there's been so many of us that has been screaming for that, you know, economically, you know, funding, we're always the last to get the crumbs off the table.
I think that and I think that you touched on a very important topic in terms of when you look at technology and how that goes. I mean, sometimes we need to make sure that we get our basic things. And I know, Ms. Deborah, and I think, Abram, I've told you as well, sometimes we can't think about some of the greater things, the loftier goals we want to make happen, like whether or not if we have solar generators, whether or not we set up you know, early warning systems and enough time and everything else. I think you bring up a very good point that there needs to be policy changes, Mr. Boer, like what you were saying, in terms of businesses need to tell people, hey, you know, there ain't no gas today. You better get some gas now because it's gone. You know what I'm saying? Because we're about to shut down. This store about to go. You know, we got to batten down the hatches and everything, as they say. Yeah, I think the main thing of concern is to make sure that we definitely need, hopefully, that your town is, when it looks at technology and different things in terms of Sharkey County area, the Issaquena County area, that there is a concerted effort to be able to say, this is what we're going to do in terms of emergency management, and also to be able to dictate to businesses and other, you know, organizations something with teeth that says, we want to minimize casualties and devastation. We need you to go ahead and say, hey, close your business. We need you to go ahead and say, hey, close this. And hopefully people listen.
I mean, we always want to preach that we got to take advantage of, you know, the systems that we do have and, you know, improve the systems that we need in place in the first place. Thanks for listening to Everyday Tech here on MPB Think Radio with myself, Abram Naney, and with Sabir Abdul-Haq. If you have questions at any time, email the show at everydaytech@mpbonline.org.
Gotcha. Yes, indeed. And definitely, I know we're getting close to the wrapping up the show today. We've been touching base with Mr. Bora Williams and everything. What about what Legacy Village has been doing a year after the tornadoes that came through? The areas of Sharkey County, Anguilla, Mayersville, and we just want to be able to give Ms. DeBoer an opportunity. She was telling us some exciting news that her organization was doing. Ms. DeBoer, if you want to tell us about the upcoming state program, I think you want to give us some background of it. You were telling me a little bit about how your program was quite timely because of what you're doing in terms of conservation efforts and in terms of climate change efforts just before the tornado hit. You want to give us a little bit of background and update of what Legacy Village is doing regarding that?
Yes. Thank you for that. Mississippi State had approached us before the tornado because they were applying for a geoscience geoscience program grant with climate change, and they saw that Rolling Fork would be a great area to do this and look at the resilience of climate change. And so we jumped on board with that. And then the tornado happened, so that made it even more pertinent to our area. So in that, we will be doing education and climate change, getting the community to understand what that really means and how to be prepared for the disasters that will come with it. So that's one. And up under that, we also have a contract with the Student Conservation Association, and they're interested in coming into Rolling Fork to hire two interns to get out in the community and really start disseminating information about preparing for disasters.
Right.
And we're just excited about it. We're excited about it because we'll be involving our South Delta School District and the students and them being more educated on their environment.
Yep.
And have prayerfully that we'll get some more students to be interested and become conservationists. So we got some things going on. And one of the investigators is also Legacy Village Board, one of the board members as well. So we really, really are looking forward to working with Mississippi State.
Yes. And it definitely sounds like some of the same things. This is an opportunity, you know, timely and during the unfortunate time of last year's events. But this is an opportunity for you and your community to really be able to go ahead and like that magic wand that we talked about, to be able to do not only just technology, but also processes and also what will happen in terms of working with local government and agencies to make sure that people are getting ready. As we get ready to close the show, what are some things that you, what is one thing that you think that your organization with the state's help from this new program you're starting, what is one thing that you think could best impact your community in preparing for future disasters that would involve technology that you'd like to see happen?
I would like when they're coming to the table to talk about funding for technology to make sure that our area and areas like ours in our rural areas to get the appropriate funding to implement technology in the way that it should be, in the way it should be implemented.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, in the final couple minutes of the show, I feel like the best perspective to view this effort from is to view it as like you said, Sabir, an opportunity. An opportunity to come together and rebuild and try to thrive. Now, Mr. DeBoer, we've got about a minute and a half left. Where can people find out more about what you're doing and the projects you're doing, and how to get involved?
Okay. Thank you both so much for allowing me this platform. We're Legacy Village MS, website is legacyvillagems.org. And we're located at 43 Pine Street, and that's in Rolling Fork. And we can be reached at 662-873-9424. And we're here 4 days a week, but I am 24 hours a day. So you'll be able to get us. So that at any time anyone want to come by and visit, just call to so we can set it up, because we are in and out a lot too. So that's it, and I do want to thank you guys again so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on, Ms. DeBoer.
And thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Well, that is going to wrap us up for the day. Thanks, Sabir, for helping myself out. And thank you, Ms. DeBoer, for coming on and helping inform us of, you know, the recovery efforts and everything that's going on. If you missed any of the show, make sure you listen back to it on your favorite podcasting app or download the MPB Public Media app. Everyday Tech is brought to you by Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and generous contributions from listeners. Our show today was engineered by a mixture of both Marissa and Jermaine. Call screener was Will Pickering. I've been your host, Abram Nanny, and our podcast producer is Charles Arnold. Thank you for tuning in. Up next is Dr. Jimmy Stewart with the original Southern Remedy. We'll be back next Wednesday morning at 10 right here on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.